scriptures in hand and turn with me to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 24 in just a moment. This is our final message in the series, Emotions, How Are You Really Feeling? And tonight, our message is titled, Turning Our Sadness into Joy. And there is so much in this world that causes sadness. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And as I was praying and reflecting on the topic of sadness for this message, my mind kept going back to the images that we saw on TV of the collapse of the Champlain Towers last summer down on Miami Beach. And you would see newscast after newscast with the faces of family members that were just wrenched with sadness. And I know that even watching the news reports, I felt a deep sense of sadness. So I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in their place. The sense of loss, loss of loved ones, and the feeling of how do you pick up the pieces? You've lost everything. You've lost your home. You've lost your memories, your pictures, everything that was important to you. And that feeling of loss must have been overwhelming for them. And there is much in this world and in our lives that brings us sadness. And we've been considering the emotions of Jesus. And today we're going to talk about an emotion that we don't like to think about, and we would like to avoid experiencing sadness as much as possible. Wouldn't you? Amen. If you could have a sadness-free life, wouldn't you choose that? Amen. And thank God in heaven we will. No more tears in heaven. Praise God. But while we're here on earth, we do still experience sadness. Even Jesus experienced sadness. We read how he cried over Jerusalem because they rejected him. He cried by the graveside of Lazarus. So he experienced sadness. And Jesus told a story that shows us both what makes the Lord sad, what makes him sad, and what brings him joy. And it also speaks about our own sadness and where we can find joy. And this story is often called the story of the prodigal son or the parable of the lost son. But it might better be the story of the prodigal father in some ways, because it's the story of the father as much as it is the son. Read with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. So he ran out of money, and his friends ran out on him, and he ran into some hard times, and he ended up taking a job feeding pigs and eating pig's food, to survive. And then we pick the story back up in verse 17. It says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me in as one of your hired servants. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost and now is found. So the party began. This young man was so arrogant and rebellious and hard-hearted, and he was just plain rude, demanding that his father give him his inheritance while he was still alive. I don't even want to wait till you die. I'm done with you. I want what's mine now. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how the father must have felt, the sadness that that brought into his heart? But the interesting thing is, the father says, okay, and gives him his inheritance. And any of you who are parents, you can imagine how brokenhearted the father must have been. His heart must have been broken by his son's rebellion and his son's rejection. And so the story goes on. The son leaves the house. He goes far away. He's got money, he's partying, he's enjoying life, and while he's rolling in the cash, he's probably got all sorts of friends to party with him. But not surprisingly, he blew all of his money rather quickly, and his friends disappeared. And then the scripture says a terrible famine came on the land where he was living, and he began to starve, and there was no one there to help him. So he takes a job, any job, to survive. He ends up feeding pigs, even though to a Jew they were an unclean animal, and this was the lowest of the low to which he had reached. So he's not only caring for the pigs now, but he's so hungry, he's eating the food that the pigs eat. That's how desperate he was. And when we rebel against God and start going our own direction far away from him, we think we are in control for a time, but before you know it, you will find yourself in a desperate place that you never imagined that you would be. And if you put yourself in the shoes of this young man, I don't think that he ever imagined that he would lose all of his money, that he would lose all of his friends, that he would be in a desperate situation with no one to help him, far away from home, and that he would end up feeding pigs and eating pig slop. He must have been in a very low emotional state at that point, very, very sad and broken. He thought he was going to have fun, that he was going to enjoy life, that he was going to be free to do what he wanted to do, all the things that he always wanted to do and his father wouldn't let him do. He had a plan in his mind, but nothing happened the way he planned. Have you ever been in a situation where you had your life planned out? And then all of a sudden something happens and your plans are turned upside down and nothing is turning out the way that you expected. I know a lot of us can identify because that's what happened to us in 2020, amen? We had our plans for 2020 and then COVID came and turned everything upside down and in many ways still affects our plans today. And you look at your situation and you think, how is this ever going to go? I mean, life doesn't always go the way that we planned. And as we dig a little bit deeper in this scripture, have you ever drifted to where not only have you gotten off track, but you find yourself feeling so far from God? When life goes off the rails, sometimes we feel, God, where are you? I'm so far from you, I can't feel you. And this young man made mistake after mistake, and he found himself lost, alone, his whole life destroyed. He had nothing to look forward to. He had hit rock bottom. He felt hopeless, despairing. He was so far from the good times, from the joy that he once knew in the Father's house. And it can so easily happen to us. One bad choice after another, a choice to not attend church can lead to being disconnected from relationship in the church. That leads to being spiritually disengaged. We decide to skip a day of Bible reading, and before you know it, it becomes a month, and before you know it, it's a habit, and our Bible has dust on it. One bad choice can lead to another, and before you know it, we find ourselves in a desperate place, a low place, alone, feeling so far from God, we wonder how we could ever come back. And sometimes it's not the result of our choice. Sometimes it's life that happens to us. And we find ourselves in a very low place, a place with no hope, a desperate place, a sad place. And that's how this boy was feeling. He was in a pig pen in such a desperate place that the pig's food looked like a gourmet meal to him. And there are circumstances in life where we fall so far down that the worst thing almost looks tempting to us. Isn't it interesting how the enemy can play with your mind in those sad times and can make you want to go after something that you know is not God's will for your life? But it becomes alluring to you because of how down you feel. See, when you're sad, when you're down, it can make you very vulnerable to the influence of the enemy. But in verse 17, there's a powerful moment. There's a turning point. Jesus says, when he finally came to his senses, now he's thinking rightly. He's not being deluded and influenced by wrong thinking. And so he said to himself, at home, even the hired hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. And he comes to the realization of how much better life was in the Father's house. And he knew he had messed up. He knew he had broken his father's heart. So he thought, there's no way. There's no way to repair this relationship. But he didn't stop there. And sadly, this is where a lot of people do stop. They get to a place where they're so low, they're so down, they've hit bottom, they feel lost, and they just throw the towel in. They give up. They feel there's no way back from where they are, or that there's no way back from the mistakes they've made. They've just gone too far, and there's no way to turn it around. And so they end up making more bad choices, making their situation even worse. But as Jesus tells the story, he makes it clear that God allows U-turns, so that no matter how bad you've messed up, or no matter how bad your situation may be, when you turn to the Lord, everything can turn around. Amen. And this young man finally came to his senses, and he says, life is so much better in my father's house. And he didn't just sit there dreaming about life in his father's house, because, you know, faith without works is dead. So you got to act on it. So he's there by faith, thinking about how much more wonderful life is in the father's house. But then in verse 20, it says, so he returned home. He got up and he got going, and he started going back home. And when his father saw him from a long way off, and I just kind of think that the father had been watching for him every day, looking for that day when his son would return. A father with a broken heart, praying and longing for his son to come back home. And that's why he saw him from a long way off. And the scripture says he ran to meet him, embraced him, kissed him, put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger. And all of that was a sign that he was being accepted back into full sonship. And everything that he lost was being restored. And then the father threw a party to celebrate. His son was lost, but now was found. Of course, the father in this parable represents God, and the father's sadness over the loss of his son was turned to joy and celebration. And this young man's sorrow over the downturn of his life was also turned into joy in the father's embrace. And this story shows us three ways that our sadness can be turned to joy. And the first thing is, just take that first step to the Father, to turn to the Father, to call on the Father. I know sometimes when we're sad, when we're down, we may not feel like praying. We may not feel like seeking God, but just take that first step. You know, the first step is always the hardest step. And that's an old adage. The first step is always the hardest step. This young man had to get up from the pig pen, take that first step, and just keep putting one foot in front of the other until he got home. There's a saying that says a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. And so sometimes it just is that first step that we have to take to get going on that journey. But sometimes the journey can seem so overwhelming, so difficult, and so uncertain that we don't even feel like we can take that first step. And if we don't take that first step, then we're already defeated and we're going to stay defeated. Amen. But by faith, we have to get up and take that step. No matter the circumstances where we might find ourselves today, no matter the mess of our life that we might find ourselves in, or whatever heartbreaking situation we may be experiencing, our sorrow can be turned to joy if we just take that first step to turn to the Lord and say, God, I need help. Lord, I'm coming to you, God. I need you. Now, for some, that first step may be repentance. In this young man's case, it was repentance because he had sinned against his father. And so he came back saying, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I've blown it. So for some people, that first step is repentance. For some, the first step may be surrendering your situation into God's hands, just saying, God, I'm in a situation and I know I don't have any control over it. And Lord, I just put it in your hands, Lord God. Only you can work in this situation. For some, the first step may be recommitting ourselves ourselves to our relationship with God, recommitting ourselves to prayer, recommitting ourselves to His Word, recommitting ourselves to His house, the church, and being connected in relationship. You know, maybe you've been home since COVID, those that are watching us online. But I want to encourage you, it's time to get up and take that first step to come back. I called a lady from the church last summer who, for a year and a half since the pandemic had started, she had not been out of her house. She had been working remotely. She had been watching church online, etc. She had pretty much become a recluse, and she was in a kind of a depression. And even her daughter was saying, "Mom, you've got to break this. You've got to get out of this. You've got to start getting back out. You've got to start going back to church." And so she told me this as I was talking to her, and I was encouraging her, "Yes, you need to take that step. You need to come to church." And she was kind of reluctant because the first step, as we said, is always the hardest step. But I said, "I'm going to be looking for you now this Sunday, so I want to see you." And she came that Sunday. And after the service, she came up to me with joy. And she said, "Pastor, I didn't realize how much I missed the people till I walked through the door and saw them." And her sorrow was turned into joy. Amen. Her isolation was broken. Her depression started to be broken by taking that first step. And not only did she take that first step to come back to church, but now she's taken another step and gotten involved in ministry. So praise God for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that first step is always the hardest. But watch what happens. When you take the first step, the Father runs to meet you. Isn't that wonderful? You just take one step and He's going to come running to meet you. This young man is walking, thinking the whole way, "I've messed up so badly. There's no way that my Father will accept me." And he's rehearsing his apology in his mind. "I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. Please forgive me. I know that I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm not expecting that, but just receive me as a servant." But here's the wonderful truth that Jesus is trying to help us understand. He's saying this is a picture of the Heavenly Father. When He sees the Son from a long way off, the Father is so filled with joy that He runs to meet Him. The Son is afraid. He may be walking slowly with his head down, but the Father is looking up and sees Him, and He goes running to meet Him. And you can just picture this young man. Smelly, dirty, caked with mud from the pig pen, because pigs are some of the filthiest animals. They like to wallow in the mud, literally. And he's been working with the pigs. He's been eating in the pig pen. And then not only is he probably dirty from the pig pen, but from this long journey that he's been on. And he's feeling so unworthy, but this Father, like only the Heavenly Father can, runs to him in this filthy, messy condition, and he embraces him and he kisses him. He is so excited that his son, who he thought was lost, is alive and has come home. And he says, "Get my best robe, put my ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, because I'm going to cover up this mess and restore all that was lost and receive him back as a son." This father said, "You know what? All that got messed up in your life, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to turn it around." This is such a beautiful picture of the Father. We don't have to try to straighten out our messes before we come to him. We come to him just as we are. Mess and all, and say, "God, here it is." And the Father is so overjoyed that we're coming to him, that he is celebrating. He throws a big party and invites everyone to celebrate with him. And that's how the Father feels when we turn to him. When we turn to him out of our sin and repentance, when we turn to him out of our despair and our sorrow and say, "God, I'm in a circumstance that is out of my control and I know I can't handle it. And Lord, I surrender it to you." When we turn to him, he is overjoyed. And all of heaven rejoices. Now, secondly, joy is found in relationship with the Father. So the first principle, take the first step. Secondly, joy is found in relationship with the Father. There's no joy in rule keeping. I want you to look at this man's older son as we read down the latter part of the chapter in verse 28. The man's older son is coming back from the field. He's been working all day in the field. He hears the music. He discovers what it's about, that the father is throwing a party for his other son. And this second son gets angry. And he refuses to join the celebration. So his father comes out and begs him to join the party, but he responds in verse 29, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends." And the older son stayed home, and he was doing what the father told him to do, but he wasn't doing it out of a heart of love for the father. He was doing it out of a heart of enslavement. He says, "All these years I've slaved for you." His heart was far from the father. You see, even though he was in the father's house, he was just as far away from the father as the other son who had left and went to a far country, because proximity doesn't guarantee intimacy with God. We can be around the things of God and be far from God. And so we can come to church, read our Bible, try to live right, check all the right boxes, but if it's not flowing out of a heart of love for the Father, if it's not flowing out of relationship, then we'll be miserable and resentful, because we will feel like a slave rather than a son or a daughter. True joy is found in relationship with the Father. The Father says to the older son, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. You weren't working as a slave for me. This farm is yours. The cattle is yours. The crops are yours. You're a son. Everything I have is yours." That's why he says you are complaining, because you think and you feel that you are a servant rather than a son. And he says, "You're complaining that I never threw a party for you, but all I have is yours. You're miserable because you see yourself like a servant doing as you're told, when you're my son and all I have belongs to you." And what he's saying is, you know, we need to focus on our relationship with the Lord. And when we focus on relationship rather than the doing, and I'm not saying the doing's not important, but when we focus on our relationship with God, then we will enjoy the blessings that God has for his children. We'll have joy. We'll have joy in our life. So many times people view following Jesus as a set of rules that they have to obey, and that sounds restrictive and miserable. But we're missing the point. Jesus doesn't want any of us to wind up like this older brother, angry and miserable without any joy, lost in his father's house. He wants us to know that when we have a relationship with the Father, that's when we experience joy. It is in the Father's presence that there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. The third way that sadness can be turned to joy is to bring our friends and family to God. We share the Father's joy when we bring people to him. There's great joy in seeing others come to Christ, and especially when we are a part of bringing them to him. There are wonderful opportunities to serve in ministry and help bring people to God, and there's great joy when we find our purpose in serving God and bringing people to him. You can witness, you can share your faith, you can invite people to church with you, and as you do, you will share the Father's joy in seeing others come to him. And we experience joy when we are connected to God's people. I want you to notice something. The Father didn't celebrate alone. What did he do? He threw a party and invited all his friends and family to celebrate the return of his son. Have you ever tried to celebrate alone? It's not a whole lot of fun, is it? The Father understands that when you celebrate things in order to enjoy the moments of life's blessings, we need to have others in our life. God doesn't want us to be isolated. He doesn't want us to live like this older brother who refused to join the party and was all angry and miserable. No, he calls us out of our loneliness and out of our isolation to join the party of his people gathered, celebrating our relationship with God and all the wonderful blessings that living for him brings. And every time we gather for service, it's a celebration. It's a celebration. We don't have to live life alone. There is so much more joy when we do life together. So join us. Come out of your isolation. Be a part of the New Life family. Let us celebrate life together in God, because life will be so much more joyous when we live it together with God's people. Amen. So don't miss out on the joy. You may be going through a hard time. You may be filled with sadness, or you may feel like you've messed up and you can't come back from it. But let me tell you something. Those are all lies of the devil intended to keep you isolated so that you will keep bound to that spirit of despair. But today I'm here to tell you that God is waiting with arms wide open for you. All we have to do is take that first step, whatever that first step needs to be for you. If you've messed up because of wrong choices, because of sinful choices, then that first step is repentance. If it's just because, you know, something has happened in your life, and life is out of control and you've just gotten sad and disappointed with life, then maybe that first step for you is just coming to God and saying, Lord, I surrender my circumstance to you. I can't handle it on my own, and I know it's out of my control, so I put it in your hands, God. Or maybe that first step is recommitting ourselves to building our relationship with God. Maybe we have allowed some things to slip in our relationship with God. We're not praying. We're not reading the Word. We're not faithfully in His house as we ought to be. And maybe our first step needs to be a recommitment to our relationship with the Lord, because our joy is found in relationship with Him. Whatever it is, would you just take a moment right where you are and bow your heads? And if you're experiencing sadness right now, would you take your first step? Take your first step. Either repent and return in faith to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. Or if you're going through a circumstance right now where you just feel so low, that you just feel like you're at the bottom of your circumstance and there's no way out, and you've been filled with hopelessness and discouragement and disappointment, would you take that first step right now and just surrender it to the Lord? Say, God, my life is in your hands. I surrender this circumstance to you. Or if it's something with your relationship with the Lord, maybe the reason that you're experiencing that sadness or that feeling of being down is because there's a distance between you and the Lord. You've allowed some things to slip. Would you pray and make a commitment to the Lord tonight to do again the first works of first love? Heavenly Father, we just bow our hearts before you tonight. And I know that within the hearing of my voice tonight, there are some that are struggling with sadness, Lord God. Some that feel so low down, Lord God, that they can't even see a way out. And I pray that you would embrace them in your love right now as they take that first step to you, Lord God. Run to meet them. Father, for some right now, they're taking that first step of repentance to say, God, I've made some bad choices. Choices that have taken me away from you and messed up my life. Father, I thank you that you're a God of great mercy. Forgive them, Lord. Wrap them in your love and restore them, Lord. Father, for others, Lord, they've found themselves in a circumstance they never dreamt that they would be. And they just feel so down, so low, that they can't even see a way out, Lord God. Father, I pray right now that you would just encourage their hearts to take that first step of surrendering to you, of putting their lives completely in your hand and saying, God, you're in control. I trust you, Lord. I trust you with everything that's going on in my life. I surrender it to you. And Father, as we stand before you tonight, for some of us, that first step is just saying, God, I need to get back to where I was spiritually before. I've allowed too much distance, like this young man that went into a far country. I've allowed too much distance in not praying the way I ought to and reading your word and being in your house. And Lord, tonight I take that first step to say, God, I recommit myself. I recommit myself to drawing near to you, to seeking you, Lord God. And Father, I pray as we each take our respective first steps, Lord God, that you would just run to meet us, Lord God, and that you would just embrace us in your love, Lord God. Father, that the kisses of your presence, Lord God, would just come upon our soul, Lord God, that we would just feel that nearness of your presence, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just renew and that you would restore, that you would do what only you can do. Father, turn our sadness into joy and celebration in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming and for tuning in. We hope that you have a wonderful rest of the evening. Drive safely. We love you. We'll see you on Sunday.